And there it is, the Rosy Rooster. Welcoming and waking Arizona homeowners from Nogales to Page, from Alpine to Ehrenberg. Good morning, Arizona homeowners. We are broadcasting live this morning from Phoenix University Stadium for the Home and Garden Show. We'll be out here all day. And they have arranged, we're out here right at gate number 2. It's a north entrance to the stadium. We've got some chairs set up, and if you want to get here early, you get here before 9:30 this morning, and we'll get you in the building for free when the show opens at 10. Pour yourself. I need a jug of Dunkin' Donuts this morning.
Been a long night.
I am dragging. I usually like to get a good 9 hours sleep before the show. I think I'm running on about 9 minutes.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, I'm tired.
So we should probably tell everybody why.
We were up all night due to the birth of our 10th grandchild. Romy Romero has delivered with his beautiful wife, Amanda, delivered a beautiful baby boy at 3 o'clock this morning. So
took him forever to get married. It didn't take him long to have a family.
No, it didn't. RC the fourth. So RC the second, Junior, me, is tired this morning. So we're going to need all y'all's help calling in here. Don't make me think. Don't make me make conversation. Give us a ring at the toll-free number, 1-888-767-4348. Give us a ring. Let us know what your concerns or questions are this morning here in the 8 o'clock hour. As always, it's the Garden Segment with John J. Harper. Let us know what you're trying to get done around the garden, the lawn, the trees, the shrubs, the garden, the backyard, the front yard, or the side yard. John J., how are we going to get everybody started this morning here?
Well, I think we've spent, understandably so, a lot of time talking about frozen plants, what to do, what not to do, when to do it. And we've kind of neglected the fertilizing part of spring, which kind of starts our spring off. We always kind of, Valentine's Day is kind of our big push to start fertilizing citrus trees, fruit trees. And for that matter, this spring, perhaps more importantly so, just about everything in your yard, especially if it after you are done pruning it, maybe just a little smaller than it used to be. If you want those plants to grow back in as rapid a manner as you can, look as good as they possibly can. In the case of fruit trees and citrus trees, produce the fruit as you like it. This is really a critical time to be fertilizing. As things, now we're talking 80 degrees most of this next week. Things are going to start flushing out new growth. Things have already started flushing out new growth.
What's the big white blossom tree I'm seeing?
Pears. Flowering.
Is it really?
Pear. Right? Ornamental pears.
Okay.
They're in full glory.
Well, they are.
The peaches and the apricots and the plums are starting to flower, starting to bud out.
As well as the desert grass. I mean, you drive just a little bit out of town and it's like a carpet. It's gorgeous.
We went to Prescott. I think you were up in Prescott this last week for a couple meetings. And very green,
right up
till you get to Sunset Point,
and then up to that point.
I was with Cheryl Gore, the executive director of the nursery. Says she goes, "Why is it so dry up here?" I said, "Because it's cold."
It's still the winter brown.
It's cold up here.
Yeah,
and it's been very cold. In fact, a few days ago, it was under snow up here. So, but the desert, the low desert, is just green, 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 and I imagine going to be full of blooms here shortly. So if you want those blooms to be in your yard, you want that growth to be in your yard, you want citrus fruit to abound, fruit trees, peaches, apricots, plums to abound, it's time to start feeding.
And let's talk through the different kinds of things that are available. Okay, how about the desert trees that I have in my front yard? Yeah, the palaverdes, the mesquites.
They, of course, are not affected by the cold very much, other than they may have lost some leaves. Some years they don't go all the way dormant or deciduous in the case of mesquites, but this year the native ones for sure probably are pretty deciduous, you know, and they don't need as much fertilizer as our non-native type trees, but certainly feeding them, if you want them to be landscape quality, there's a big difference if you go out in the desert in May or June and look at what the trees look like as opposed to probably what you want the trees in your yard to look like in May or June. So fertilizing those with just a general tree and shrub type fertilizer, even an all-purpose fertilizer. That's heck,
generally
citrus food would be fine.
Generally a granular?
Generally a granular.
Okay.
Liquid type fertilizers are great for your pots, you know, your geraniums in your pots, maybe your vegetable garden if you want to get it jump started a little quicker. By and large, granular, slower release type fertilizers will do a better job for your major trees and shrubs and vines.
Okay. And how about just the generic hedges and the privacy screens and the oleanders and any of those others?
Any general-purpose fertilizer.
I never give those anything.
Well, and some of them do pretty darn well without much, especially oleanders and some of the more vigorous things. However, in a year where even the dwarf oleanders froze a little bit this year, the standard ones didn't, so they're going to need to be trimmed back, and you're going to want them to bloom nicely. I would still recommend just a good general purpose, you know, a 10-10-10, a 16-16-16. Doesn't need anything particular other than the thing that we lack the most here, in the southern part of the state especially, because of the lack of rainfall, is nitrogen. And nitrogen is the key element that's key for putting on new growth, for growing foliage, for having things be green. And it's the first number in any analysis of any fertilizer.
Okay.
So 10-10-10 means it's 10% nitrogen.
Okay.
21-0-0 means it's 21% nitrogen. So that 20-pound bag, if it's a 10-10-10, has 2 pounds of actual nitrogen in it. And so, you know, you just follow the directions. Make sure you're using a product that's got, you know, a fair amount of nitrogen. It should be labeled. If it says tree and shrub food, then it's probably good for about anything in your yard. If people have 4 or 5 citrus trees and then they've got other stuff, I just tell them, buy citrus food and put it on everything.
Okay.
It won't hurt anything other than your little bedding plants and your geraniums and maybe your rose bushes. You want to get specific with those. But if you buy a good citrus food and you've got just general, like oleanders, they'd love citrus food.
So. Do they really? Okay. And you have to kind of step out in faith, because going out in my backyard, we have a pomegranate tree, and that thing just looks dead right now. I mean, it's just, there isn't a leaf on it. It's just twigs coming out of the ground. So it takes a step of faith to fertilize that thing. It is going to come back. You feel a little silly fertilizing something that looks that dead.
True, but it does it every year. It loses its leaves every year. That's how it should look. And I would bet if you go look at it real close this week, and there are some little tiny leaves starting to come out on it, because the pomegranates in the nursery in the pots are starting to show new growth. So it would shock me if the pomegranates in the ground haven't just about started to pop out and start leafing out. So,
well, now here in the valley that we're touching on 80 degrees,
it'll explode. And, you know, a lot of that stuff, even the stuff that looks frozen, that doesn't normally look brown and leafless, if you start looking down towards the ground, walking up here to the gate, I noticed some bougainvilleas out here, and if you look down right at the base, there's brand new, beautiful reddish-green foliage popping out along the main stems and the base of those bougainvilleas. So that's also a sure time that it's probably safe to start pruning off all of that dead material that's on top and start exposing some of that new growth to sunlight and warm temperatures.
Well, I was bragging big time, if you remember last Saturday, that I hit the landscape lotto.
Yes.
That just before the big moisture event hit the valley, we got the pre-emergent done on the entire property. So, boy, I'm grinning big. I did buy my first ever lottery ticket.
Did you?
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
Not very good.
Luck didn't run us over, huh?
No, it didn't. Extend into the lottery ticket. But is it too late to pre-emerge? I mean, it's sprouting now.
Boy.
You're almost going to have to mix it with a post-emergent now, aren't you?
And you can do that. If you buy the liquid pre-emergence, you can mix them with glyphosate, Roundup type product, together. If you've got gravel or granite, you could spray all that at one time. You know, that makes a great combination. It's never too late to use pre-emergent. It's just too late for the weeds that have already come up. There's always going to be stuff coming up. So it's going to work down the road. But, boy, if you used it this year, you're going to be happy you did. And if you didn't get it on yet, boy, you're going to be wishing you had. Because with these warm 80-degree temperatures, we talked about new growth on trees and shrubs, well, the rainfall that we've had and the weeds are going to just explode when it hits 80 degrees.
You know, we're here broadcasting live this morning from Phoenix University Stadium for the Maricopa County Home and Garden Show, and we're doing seminars on stage all through the day. And one of the seminars is 10 things Arizona homeowners do wrong. I really need to expand that to about 13 things and get a few landscaping things in there. But not doing pre-emergent is one thing Arizona homeowners do wrong most of. I don't think they understand how much life it buys them in the future. Not on their hands and knees, not hula-hoeing, not raking up the weeds.
Especially, you know, for the guy that doesn't really particularly like yard work, it saves him tons of unwanted work. If those of us that love to do stuff, but, you know, pulling weeds ain't on my list.
Not on my list.
I mean, if I want to spend time in the yard, I want to be planting tomato plants. I want to be, you know, planting my flowers. I want to be fertilizing. I want to be doing the things that I enjoy doing, not, you know, damage control like pulling weeds. So it saves you time to do all the other things that you like to do. Plus, it just makes your garden look better if you've not having to deal
with only thing I can't understand is my dad, Dr. Rosie, rest in peace, God bless his soul, and your dad were acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
How come my dad never knew about pre-emergent? You know how many hula hoes I whittled down to the size of a toothpick?
You know, pre-emergence has been around forever.
Why didn't Big John ever tell Dr. Rosie about pre-emergence?
I think back in those days, though, if you think about it, most folks didn't have big gravel area. Everybody had grass beds, and you know, so there was probably a limited amount. Now, pre-emergence, 10 years ago, didn't sell a lot of them. Now, sell lots of them.
I was the pre-emergent for Dr. Rosie. Oh, man.
That's why.
I've got a hula ho bachelor's degree.
You had a cheap one.
Yeah, I did. Hey, y'all give us a ring. We're going to take a break right now and be right back.